God laid it out in that particular letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We can call that the spiritual gift chapter. But it's followed by chapter 13. What is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 called? I saw mouths moving. The love chapter. So the gifts are given, but what the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, let me show you a more excellent way. And that way was love, wasn't it? And so we have that here. We have the gifts given down through verse 8. Some gifts listed, and if your gift is mercy, do it cheerfully. And then it says the next thing, love must be sincere. Now we're going to do things a little bit differently this morning. I know you like to be shaken up. So if you would, please leave your Bibles open and stand up and put it on the chair behind you. I mean that you were sitting on. And we are going to look at the screen and we're going to read our scripture together. There is a screen in the back, but I would suggest looking at the front. I will look at the back. Did you know that that's how I cheat? But let's read Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 13, all together. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Okay, that's as far as we're going in the scripture. You know, we could do, wouldn't that be interesting to do the whole sermon in unison? While you're standing, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you called us to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ daily. We thank you that we set aside this day to remember especially that we have life in Christ, to fulfill our responsibility to one another in praying for each other, to gather in fellowship and encourage. And we pray that this morning you'd work in our midst, in each of our lives, for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So you started to read my first point, which is good. Now it's doubly planted in your minds. But love leads the short-term goals, this list of goals. It kind of sounded that way as we read it, didn't it? Just little short phrases. These are things that we can do, that God calls us to do. But love leads that list. One of the things that we do as we take a hold of the scriptures is read it and examine it in order to obey. Sometimes churches refer to singing as our worship time. It is, but it's not confined to music. Worship is responding to God. And if we respond to God with music, then that is worship. But also, we respond to God as we read the Word. And that is worship too. When Romans chapter 12 in the first couple of verses said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And then it says, this is your reasonable service of worship. So there's the response to the Word of God in presenting ourselves to Him. That is worship. And so we continue in that. And love leads our list because we're responding to the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave this instruction to his followers in John chapter 13, verse 34. And you know how that goes, perhaps. Jesus said that all men will know you are my disciples if you have loved one another. I guess that's verse 35. How does verse 34 start? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, so you love one another. That as I have loved you is a powerful phrase, isn't it? How did Jesus demonstrate his love toward us? He died on the cross for our sin. He wanted us with him so much. He wanted sin taken out of the way. And it was God's purpose, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God's purpose, deal with the sin and bring people into the family. And so we have that ongoing. John chapter 3 and verse 16, you know that verse? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, do you know that verse? Because it carries on with this, as I have loved you, love one another. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. Sometimes it's good to go through your Bible and just find the 3:16s in there. This one says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Hey, is there something there for us to do? You betcha. Love leads the way on these short-term goals. So daily, we get up and have in our mind, okay, love is the most important thing that I need to exercise. That may be the farthest to reach for. Sometimes we have trouble with this, getting up in the morning and loving people. I know some of us, until we have our coffee, you best stay out of the way. But love is an important first step. So we want to love just as Jesus, who loved the Father, we want to love the Father also, God the Father, to glorify him, to please him. That's what Jesus did. And then Jesus also loved the church, and he gave himself up for her. When he says love must be sincere, love must be without hypocrisy. It's not just a face we put on. Many of you have heard the illustration of what that word means. It was a word that was used for the theater. And with a few actors, they could put on a very expansive play, because a person could change characters just by changing the mask. And they didn't have the amplification and things. They had the stadiums, the arenas, and the platform down there, the stage, and a person could put on a large mask that would depict the character. And he could be one character, walk to the side, pick up another mask, and be a totally different person. And that's what that would be insincerity, that would be hypocrisy. And the Bible here says, let your love be without that hypocrisy. It's not a love that puts on a mask, that you can be loving toward one person, turn around and put on another mask and not be loving. No, this is to come from the heart. This is the very core of our nature in Christ, to be loving. Loving must be sincere. But if we love, then we also need to, we must, do the second part of this. And it says, hate what is evil. So genuine love also hates what God hates. We want to be loving as God is loving, but there are things that God hates. And I've got on the screen, we won't read it out loud together, but you can follow along. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, we have a list of things that are those things that God hates. These are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, or some translations say the proud look. You can see it in people's faces, a pride. Haughty eyes. A lying tongue is hated by God. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked schemes. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. A false witness that pours out lies. And a man who stirs up dissension. among brothers. These are things that God hates. And there are things that sometimes we are encouraged to tolerate. Don't get out of joint about this thing. It was mentioned this morning about abortion. And there are women who are hurting and need God's forgiveness. If they appeal to the Lord forgives. But there are those who are quick to shed innocent blood. God hates that. And it should be our response as well. I heard a friend of mine, quite a bit older than me, preached a sermon when I was a young person. And the title of that sermon was, in considering the seven things that God hates, and the title of his sermon was, Turn or Burn. Pretty simple title. I think you get the picture. There are consequences to sin. And so we need to hate the things that God hates. But the alternative, that line finishes, cling to what is good. And the righteous deeds that God leads us into doing and empowering us to do, the righteous deeds express our love to God. When we do good things for God's glory, God sees to it that it brings the results that he intended. Good deeds are also the visible evidence of Christ in our lives. As Steve read this morning, I am a Christian, but I'm not perfect. But when people see Christians do things that are beyond what they would do personally, where did the source for that come from? And it reveals Christ in our lives. In John chapter 13, Jesus said, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now that was in the context of him washing the disciples' feet at the Last Supper. But something he said there, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And so when we read in the Gospels the life of Jesus, there are things that we pick up on. Jesus was loving toward the lady taken in adultery. There were those that wanted to throw those stones so badly, but the only one who was qualified, who had no sin himself, didn't throw the stones. He didn't just let it go, but forgave and instructed her, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. When we think about clinging to what is good, there's a book in the Bible. I think these are on the screen too. And Titus is a book that is given toward telling a young pastor, teach your people to do what's good. And so in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, Jesus Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. How do we describe good? How do we define it? By what we think is good? By what our neighbor thinks is good? Or is it by what God thinks is good? If we're obedient to the word of God, we will be able to do what God says is good. Titus goes on and says, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. And in verse 14, the next one. Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order that they may provide for daily necessities and not live unproductive lives. And so out of the whole Bible, that's just three of the references that command us. These are things that aren't just suggestions, but receive the teaching to do what is good. To put ourselves out in another person's situation and help. We're letting people come into our space and doing good for one another. There was another phrase here in verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And in your notes, you see the heading for that little section. It says, always contribute to the environment of love in the church. The church body is to be the most loving group of people you'd want to be around. But it's possible to be around. It's really fun to go to a pastor's conference and have, there's one conference that Kathy and I've been to that there's between 400 and 600 pastoring couples there. And an environment of love in the group. Smaller groups where you really get to know the people you pick up on. They are really interested in me. I'm interested in this one. I'm interested in them. An environment of love. How about in the church? You know, one of the things when people kind of withdraw from the church is that they miss out, we call it fellowship, but there's something about the church body together that should, and I'm saying this is ideal, it should inject you with a whole new dose of encouraging love, of having people interact with you and care for you. Another thing that is important about the church collected, again, is to be able to pray for one another. If you don't have someone reminding you that, oh yeah, this person is in need. We heard about a situation this morning, and if you read it too, that's a reminder for us to pray. But there was a life flight at about 1:30 this morning, and a lady, I don't dare say older now, she's about my age, a couple of years, but she was life flighted down to Boise. And let's see, that was 1:30, between 1:30 and 2. And so when did you read that text? 7:30, about. So there were that many hours from the time she was life flighted till the text came through. My husband has not arrived at the hospital. Oh no. What happened? As far as I know, we don't know yet. But something, he was going to follow that helicopter down to the hospital, and he never arrived. What happened? What do? We pray. Do we know that whole situation? No. Does God? Yes. Does God answer prayer and the cries of his people? Yes. Can we ask for his intervention in this situation? Yeah. And when we're together, did you have a later word? Okay, he's been found. He's not admitted to the hospital himself. Okay, well, praise the Lord. He's not out of reach of people anyway. But that sort of thing happens. When the church is collected, there's things that we can act on this. We have a responsibility in this. We care for our brother. We care for our neighbors. Love your neighbor as yourself. And we can do that. Always contribute to the environment of love in the church. The Apostle Peter wrote about this too in 1 Peter and chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. And God inspired him, the Apostle Peter, to write this. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. And that's that phileo, Philadelphia kind of love. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. And so we have, is that all of it? No. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. And so the church collected is a whole bunch of people that are blessing each other. Not taking opportunity to withdraw from somebody, but contributing to the love of the body, love of the individuals in the church. And there's no room for insult. Well, then we find in verse 11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Now, I thank you, Michelle, for sending me this link. Watched a movie yesterday. I watched most of it. I have to say, there were just a little short time that I had to examine my eyelids, make sure that everything was good there. But most of this movie I watched, it's 2 hours, isn't it? Yeah, there was a good reason for me to kind of fade in the middle. But it was sheep among wolves. And you know where the example of this obedient service comes from? The country of Iran. Can you believe that? I took some clips from what they had on the Facebook. Wow. You don't think of good stuff coming out of Iran very often. One, the Church of Jesus Christ is growing in Iran. One thing powerful with this movement, it's called DMM, Disciple-Making Movement, that's going on there. One powerful thing with disciple-making movement is that it is obedience-based discipleship. It is based on the authority of Scripture. And every time you read the Scriptures, you must obey it. Let that sink in. These are people in Iran that are saying, if you read the Bible, you read it with the intent of finding out what I am to do. Not, how many pages did I read today? Find out what we're to do. This is how people become conformed to the image of Christ and are sanctified. They are not just reading the Bible for information. They are reading the Bible to get transformed. About 55% of the disciple makers are women, according to one Iranian leader. What's fascinating right now is that the most powerful leaders in Iran are women. But it's not in a bombastic, humanistic way. In fact, they are the most gentle women. They are leading this movement, going out into the highways and byways, sharing with prostitutes and drug addicts, with everybody they come into contact with, and that takes courage. They are courageous women. The women leaders in Iran have not embraced a feminist theology. In a biblical way, they are submissive to proper structure and the order of the church. But when it comes to what Satan is doing, they are fierce. These are not like angry, modern, liberal women that are just upset. No, there is a gentleness and submissiveness that is beautiful and follows the biblical pattern. And in the movie, they couldn't write the whole text of the movie out, but in the movie, women were saying, whatever it costs, if it costs me an abuse of my body, I need to tell people about Jesus. I need to be out there in an environment that is hateful. This is a Muslim culture. But they said the greater part of the Muslim culture is among those who are benefiting from the profits they make, the business that they have, because they are Muslim. And there's a whole ground level group of people that are open to the gospel. They know they're needy. What the Bible says here, love is followed by obedient service. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. So whatever that involves, as you read the Bible, you might read Ephesians chapter 5, and it says, wives, be submissive to your own husbands. as to the Lord. And it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved your church. Well, that's part of this loving environment. Wives loving their husbands, husbands loving their wives. But then there's a world out there. But God loved the world and he gave his son sacrificially. And since we know the love of God because Jesus laid down his lives for us, so we too are to lay down our lives. Wow. And that's what these ladies expressed in the movie. Lay down their lives for the gospel. Well, that might cause a lot of questions or comments or flack during the cookie time, but I said it. What short-term goals are held when life is disturbed? We're talking about our own personal short-term goals. Love, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honor one another above yourselves, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Okay, but what happens when my life gets upset? This would be really good if life were ideal, smooth, not a problem. But what about when things change? Well, it says to be joyful in hope. The future for us as believers in Jesus, as followers of Jesus, is that our lives are settled in Christ. We know that our life is continuing in God's hands. When our life is over, God's grip on us continues. He brings us home. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus. Nothing will take our inheritance and home in heaven away from us. Nothing. Our death only promotes that. We get promoted to glory. For a person in this world, death ends all as far as they know. For us, it's a step to glory. The future is settled in Christ, and our present is under God's supervision. He's not surprised by anything that happens to us. Our lives are under his supervision. And that understanding helps those who are afflicted to be patient. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And know that our prayer brings help and reinforcement. Help and reinforcement are only a prayer away, because prayer expresses our faith and we say, God, I'm trusting you. Here I am. I'm in a deep well, a deep pit, but here I am. My life is in your hands. And the last thing that we are to do on our short list of short-term goals, share with God's people who are in need and practice hospitality. To help others who feel the distress of troubles, share. Or the other word, the actual word that it says, is from the word koinonia, which means the fellowship. Sharing in the fellowship of sharing, of meeting people's needs. And so to help others, share what God has given us. There's sacrificial giving. There's the blessing of others with the gifts God has given us. So we're already, this is the third Sunday into 2020, 3 weeks. What are your goals for 2020? My New Year's resolutions are going to be to do whatever Brian preaches on this Sunday. Good luck with that. How about if I'm going to be obedient to God in whatever he leads me to do in 2020? I will read to find what God wants me to do. I will obey what God says in his word to do. I will live without me that big I being in the center. Live for the Lord Jesus this year. I encourage you to walk with Jesus daily, to be obedient to the Bible commands and rest on His promises. And soon the short-term goals will become a long-term way of life. I have a book by Eugene Peterson, just came to mind. I like the title, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Let's do it. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know who we are, where we are, what we've done, what we need, where we're going. Our lives are in your hands. Help us to be the kind of disciples following Jesus obediently. That we would be the kind of disciples that reach out to others to make disciples, to draw them along with us to follow the Lord Jesus. And Lord, one plants a seed, another waters, and you bring about the harvest, you bring the increase. Thank you for the work that you will accomplish through your people. Help us to be a blessing to others around us, that we might bless your heart as well. In Jesus' name.